Welcome to Zikhu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Gold. All right, and today we're Maseches Psachim Daf Yud. So the three daf are going to focus on number one. The Gemara and Daf Tes Amud Beis and our Daf discussed the halachas for seven situations of chametz. The fifth case was al ubadak v'ashkach. If a mouse went into a searched home with chametz and the owner searched his house and didn't find it, the law can be derived from a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabban, as it's learned in the Mishnah and Nida regarding a case where a pile of stones containing tuma from a corpse became confused with two other piles of stones that were tahor. If all three piles were searched and still no trace of tumah is found, Rabbi Meir said, "Kol davish becheskas tumah lo amhu b'tumaso." Anything that has a chazaka being tameh is always assumed to be in its state of tumah ad shivadel ocha tumah heichonhi, until it becomes known to you where the tumah is. The Chachamim say, "Bodek ad shemegi lasela o akarka basua." He should search until he reaches a layer of rock or virgin ground. And if the tumah is not found, he may assume it's no longer there. Rashi explains that he may assume a raven or mouse came and removed them. In the case of chametz, even Rabbi Meir would agree that the house need not be searched again, since the requirement is only the Rabbanan. Rashi explains that we can assume the mouse ate the chametz. Point number two, Rava asks in a case of kikar b'shmei kore, a loaf of bread which is on top of the beams of the ceiling. Sarach suam horido ein sarach. Does one need to get a ladder to take it down or not? Do we say the Rabbanan do not require a person to get rid of chametz that's so high up, as no one will accidentally eat it? Or maybe it will fall down and then someone will eat it. Rava asks further that if the Rabban were indeed concerned in the above case, what's the luck if the loaf of bread is in a pit? Does one need to get a ladder to get it out? Do we say that the Rabban did not require that, being that it will not come up on its own? Or maybe someone might go into the pit to use a bathroom and when he sees it, he'll eat it. Rava's last question was, what is the halach if the loaf of bread is in the mouth of a snake? Do we say that one's required to hire a charmer who can get the bread out of the snake's mouth? Or do we say the chametz do not require one to spend money on doing the search for chametz? The Gemara leaves these questions as a teiku. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Rav Yehuda says, Botkin or Yudalad v'Yudalad v'Shachris v'Shasabir. We need to search for chametz on the night of the 14th of Nisan, the morning of the 14th of Nisan, and at the time that we burn the chametz, which is during the 6th hour of the 14th. The Gemara initially understands that Rav Yehuda requires three different bedikos. The Chachamim say that if one did not search for chametz on the night of the 14th, then he must do it on the 14th. If he didn't check on the 14th, he needs to do it during the mod, which Rashi explains to mean during the time we burn the chametz, meaning during the 6th hour, and if he didn't do it during the moed, he needs to check after the moed up until dark. The Gemara concludes that the correct understanding of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda really agrees to the Chachamim that a person is only required to search for chametz one of these three times. They argue only regarding the searching after the chametz prohibition goes into effect. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he cannot do it any longer, gezer dilma asil michamine, as a decree against the possibility of refined chametz he might come to eat it. Whereas the Chachamim hold that he may still do it after the time of burning the chametz. Rashi explains this is true only on the afternoon of the 14th, when chametz is forbidden, but not yet subject to a penalty of karas. So once again, the three points are number one, the Gemara and Daf, Tes Amud Beis, and our Daf discuss halachas for seven situations of chametz. The fifth case was, al ubadak v'lashkach. If a mouse went into a searched home with chametz, and the owner searched his house and didn't find it, the law can be derived from a malchus between Rabbi Meir and the Rabban, as it's learned in a Mishnah and Nida regarding a case where a pile of stones containing tumah from a corpse became confused with two other piles of stones that were tahor. If all three piles were searched and still no trace of tumah is found, Rabbi Meir said, "Kol davish becheskas tumah lo amhu b'tumaso." Anything that has a chazaka being tamei is always assumed to be in a state of tumah. Ad shivadel ocha heichonhi, until it becomes known to you where the tumah is. The Chachamim say, "Bodek ad shemegi lasela o karka basula." He should search until he reaches a layer of rock or virgin ground. And if the tumah isn't found, he may assume it's no longer there. Rashi explains that he may assume a raven or a mouse came and removed them. So in the case of chametz, even Rabbi Meir would agree that the house need not be searched again, since the requirement is only ad rabbanan. Rashi explains that we can assume the mouse ate the chametz. And point number two, Rava asks in the case of kikar b'shmei kore, a loaf of bread which is on top of the beams of the ceiling, sarach suam horido einu sarach. Does one need to get a ladder to take it down or not? Do we say that the rabbanan do not require a person to get rid of chametz that is so high up, as no one will accidentally eat it, or maybe it'll fall down, and then some will eat it? Rava asks further that if the Rabban were indeed concerned in the above case, what's the luck if a loaf of bread is in a pit? Does one need to get a ladder to get it out? Do we say the Rabban do not require that, being that it will not come up on its own? Maybe someone might go into the pit to use the bathroom, and when he sees it, he'll eat it. And Rava's last question is, what is the luck if the loaf of bread is in the mouth of a snake? Do we say that one's required to hire a charmer who can get the bread out of the snake's mouth, or do we say that the Chachamim did not require one to spend money on doing the search for chametz? The Gemara leaves these questions as a teiku. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Rav Yehuda says, Botkin or Yudalad, Yudalad, Shachritz v'Shasabir. We need to search for chametz on the night of the 14th, the morning of the 14th, and at the time that we burn the chametz, which is during the 6th hour of the 14th. The Gemara initially understands that Rabbi Yehuda requires three different bedikos. The Chachamim say that if one did not search for chametz on the night of the 14th, then he must do it on the 14th. If he didn't check on the 14th, he needs to do it during the moed, which Rashi explains to mean during the time that we burn the chametz, meaning during the 6th hour. And if he didn't do it during the moed, he needs to check after the moed up until dark. The Gemara concludes that the correct understanding of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda really agrees to the Chachamim that a person is only required to search for chametz one of these three times. They argue only regarding the searching after the chametz prohibition goes into effect. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he cannot do it any longer, gezer dilma asil nechomine, as a decree against the possibility if he were to find chametz, he might come to eat it, whereas the Chachamim hold that he may still do it after the time of burning the chametz. Rashi explains this is true only on the afternoon of the 14th, when chametz is forbidden, but not yet subject to a penalty of karas. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Yud, and the simon is a minion of Yidden. A minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Yidden, who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into their checked shul, emergency dialed the chametz busters who came with their ladders on the morning of the 14th at the time of Biur. Once again, in slow motion. The minion of Yidden. Minion of Yidden, that must be more on Daf Yud. The minion of Yidden, who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into their checked shul, which reminds us that in a case where a mouse with chametz went into a searched home and the owner couldn't find it, we can assume that the mouse ate the chametz and one does not need to check. Again, this was derived from the Mishnah Nida, where a pile of stones containing tuma from a corpse became confused with two other piles of stones that were tahor, and all three piles were searched and there was no trace of tuma. Even Rabbi Meir, who holds here, anything that a chazaka being tuma is always assumed to be in its state of tuma until it becomes known to you where the tuma is, would say in our case that one can presume the chametz was eaten by a mouse because bedikas chametz is only a derabanan. So the minion of Yidden who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into their check shul, emergency dialed the chametz busters who came with their ladders, which reminds us that the Gemara leaves us to take with the questions of whether one needs to take a ladder to remove chametz from the top of ceiling beams, or to descend into the pit to remove it from there, or to pay a snake charmer to remove chametz from a snake's mouth. So the minion of Yidden who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into their check shul, emergency dialed the chametz busters who came with their ladders on the morning of the 14th at the time of Biur. Which reminds us of the Malkus regarding the times for Bidika's chametz. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it can be done the night of the 14th. If it's not done then, the morning of the 14th. If it's not done then, it can be done up until the Shas of Biur. But after that, he can do it no longer as a decree against the possibility that if he were to find chametz, he might come to eat it. Whereas the Chachamim hold that he may still do it after the time of burning the chametz. Rashi explains this is true only on the afternoon of the 14th, when a chametz is forbidden, but not yet subject to a penalty of karas. So once again, the minion of Yidden, who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into their checked shul, emergency dialed the chametz busters who came with their ladders on the morning of the 14th at the time of Biur. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Dav Vav. So the simmer Dav Vav is a sword. So here goes. The sword collector. Sword collector, that must mean we're on Dav Vav. The sword collector practiced covering chametz with his swords, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Hamotzi chametz bebeis beyantav, kofa olav as a kli. If one finds chametz in his house in yantav, he should cover it with a kli. Rashi points out that the chametz cannot simply be removed as it's muksa. He explains that the reason for covering the chametz is so that it will not accidentally be eaten. Rav qualifies Rav Yehuda's statement that im shel hekdeshu in a tzarech, in a case where the chametz which was discovered belongs to hekdesh, one does not need to cover it. The reason is, amiv dal bedili mineh. The people are accustomed to keep away from hekdesh throughout the year, so we're not concerned that now one might accidentally eat it. So the sword collector practiced covering chametz with his swords before heading out to a shear 30 days before Pesach, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, HaMefarsh ve'yotz b'shiyar kodem shoshim yom, ein zaku levar. If one travels away from his home, through the sea or the desert, if he leaves his house more than 30 days before Pesach, he doesn't have to destroy his chametz. However, toch shoshim yom zaku levar. If he leaves with him 30 days, he must first destroy his chametz. The Gemara asks what the purpose of these 30 days is, which the Ran understands to mean, why did the Rabbanim fix a period of 30 days? The Gemara brings a braisa that states, sholim v'dorshim mehochas ha-pesach, kodem ha-pesach, shoshim yom. We ask and give public discourses on the halachas of Pesach from 30 days before Pesach. Rashi explains that since one starts to learn the halachas, one must be careful with Pesach obligations. Rabban Shimon Gamliel disagrees and says that we begin learning the halachas 2 weeks before Pesach. So the sword collector practiced covering chametz with his swords before heading out to a shear 30 days before Pesach on how to be mevatel chametz, which reminds us. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, habodik tzarech sheyevatel, after one does bedikas chametz, he must be mevatel the chametz. Rashi explains that one must be mevatel the chametz in his heart and also say the words, kol chamir de'ika bebeisa adein levatel. Any leaven that exists in this house should be batel. The Gemara asks what the point of this is, since he already searched for and destroyed all the chametz. Rava answers, Gezer Shema Yimsa Guska Yafe V'dayti Lave. It was instituted to do this because maybe he'll find a nice roll on Pesach and his mind will be on it. Rashi explains this to mean that if he finds a nice piece of bread, he may hesitate for a moment, not wanting to burn it, and that second he'll be transgressing Bal Yera or Bal Yematzeh. The Gemara asks, V'ki Mashkachazle Levatle. When one finds a chametz, let him be Levatle then. Why does it need to be done before Pesach? The Gemara answers, Dilma Mashkachetz Leg Levasu Yisura, that he might only find the chametz after the time when it's forbidden to get benefit from it, meaning after Chatzos of the 14th. And once it's forbidden to get benefit from the chametz, V'lav Rishusi Kaimi V'lav Matzim Mevatel. The chametz is no longer his, and therefore he does not have the capability to be Mevatel it. Dav Zayin. So the Simber Dav Zayin is a clay Zayin, a weapon we use a gun. So here goes. The 21-gun salute. 21-gun? That must mean we're on Dav Zayin. The 21-gun salute that sounded as soon as the rabbi recited the bracha of Al Biur Chametz, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said, Habodek Sarek Sheyavark, when doing the search for chametz, one must recite a bracha. Rashi adds, the Gemara later says that the bracha must be recited before the search. The Gemara brings some machlokas about what the proper words of the bracha should be. Rav Papi said in the name of Rava that one should say Levayur Chametz, and Rav Papa said in the name of Rava that one should say Al Biur Chametz. The Gemara clarifies that according to both of them, since the bracha is said before the bedika, the word Levayur would be the correct word to use, being that it means to destroy in the future tense. They argue only in regard to the words albiur. Rav Papi holds that it means to destroy in the past tense, and therefore these words cannot be used in the bracha. Rav Papa holds that albiur too means to destroy in the future tense, and therefore it may be used in the bracha recited before doing the search. The Gemara goes on to discuss how this argument between Rav Papi and Rav Papa about the wording of al would apply to other mitzvahs. So the 21-gun salute that sounded as soon as the rabbi recited the bracha of albiur chametz startled the man walking towards the mikveh with a shofar in his hand, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Kol ha-mitzvahs mevarcha alehen over l'si ha-san. We recite the bracha for all mitzvahs before we do them. The Gemara discusses how we know that the words over l'si ha-san mean beforehand. In the basement of Shavrav, they said that there are two exceptions to this rule. One does not recite a bracha before he goes into the mikveh, and also one does not recite the bracha before the mitzvah of blowing the shofar Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara explains that one does not recite a bracha before going into the mikveh because before becoming tar from certain tumas, one may not say a bracha. However, the Gemara asks why one would not be able to recite a bracha before blowing the shofar Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara concludes that the statement from the Beis Hamidrash of Rav must have been that the only exception is tevila alone. So the 21-gun salute that sounded as soon as the rabbi recited the bracha of Al Biur Chametz startled the man walking towards the mikveh with a shofar in his hand, who then saw search teams sent out with candles in their hand. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks how we know that one needs to use specifically the light of a candle to do the checking of the chametz. Rav Chisda answers that we learn this out from a chain of similar words. It says the word metziah by chametz in the pasuk Shivas Yamim, Sorli Yimatz Mevatech, and we found the word metziah in a different pasuk, V'yachapes Begadol Eichel, V'katan Kila V'yimatzeh. He searched, he began with the oldest, and ended with the youngest, and it was found, which also has in it the word chipus, search. We see that the word metziah was accomplished through a search, and therefore we see that we must do a search for chametz. Rav Chisda continues that the word chipus is also found in another pasuk which discusses the candle. Be'esahi achapesis Yerushalayim b'neros. At that time I will search Yerushalayim with candles. We therefore see that the word chipus is specifically a search done with a candle. Dav Ches. So the simmer Dav Ches is challah. So here goes. The scorched challahs. Challahs. That must mean we're on Dav Ches. The scorched challahs were a result of the person who mistakenly used a torch for bedika. Which reminds us, the Gemara in Dav Zayin on the base brings a brisa that says, "In bokim lo or hachama v'lo or halavan v'lo or havuka elo or aner." We cannot search for chametz using the light of the sun, the light of the moon, or a torch. We need to use the light of a candle. The Gemara on our daf asks why a torch may not be used, based on two statements from Rav, who brings a pasuk that teaches a torch is stronger than a candle, and stated, "Avuka lahavdala mitzvah mina muvchar." A torch is the best thing to use for havdala, since its light is stronger than a candle. The Gemara brings four answers. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answered that Ze yachol achnisa l'choinot stalking v'ze enu yachol achnisa l'choinot stalking. This one, a candle, can be brought inside holes and cracks, thereby being ideal for searching for chametz. And this one, the torch, cannot be brought into such places. Razvid answered that Ze or l'afanav v'ze or l'achrav. This one, the candle, gives light in front of a person, thereby being ideal for searching for chametz. And this one, the torch, gives light in the back of the person. Rav Papa says that the torch makes one afraid that he'll burn down the house, and Ravina says the light of the candle is steady, whereas the light of the torch flickers. So the scorched challahs were a result of the person who mistakenly used a torch for bedika, who almost burnt down his entire house after checking the small cracks and holes full of scorpions, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa which states, Ein mechayvin oso lahaknis yado l'chor nistakin livdok mipnei hasakana. We do not obligate a person to put his hand into holes and cracks to search for chametz, as this is dangerous. The Gemara explains, mipnei hasakana sa'akrav. because of the danger of scorpions that are inside these spaces and might sting a person who sticks his hand inside. The Gemara asks that Rabbi Elazar says that shulchei mitzvah in a nizokin. One who goes to do a mitzvah will not be hurt. Rav Ashi answers that we're concerned that he had lost a needle, and after he finishes searching for the chametz, he'll look for his needle. During the time that he's looking to find his missing needle, he'll not be protected. So the scorched challahs were a result of the person mistakenly used a torch from Bedika, who almost burnt down his entire house after checking the small cracks and holes full of scorpions next to the wine barrels in the basement. Which reminds us, in the Mishnah on Dav Beis HaMinhal, Beis Shammai said that when one searches his basement of wine barrels, he must search Beishuros al Pnei Kol HaMartin, two rows on the face of the entire basement. Rav Yehuda said that Beis Shammai meant the two outer rows of barrels from the floor to the ceiling. Rav Yochanan said that Beis Shammai meant Shura Achas Kamin Ga'am, a single row in the shape of the Greek letter gamma, which means all of the outer rows of barrels from the floor to the ceiling, and all of the highest rows of barrels facing the ceiling. Beis Hillel said in the Mishnah that one must search Shtehei Chitzonos Shehen Elyonos, the two outer ones which are the highest ones. Rav said that Beis Hillel meant the highest row which is the closest to the outside, and the row underneath it. Shmuel said that Beis Hillel meant the highest row which is the closest to the outside, and the row behind it. Daf Tes. So the Simfer Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The Chul, the spotted jumping out of a teapot. Teapot? That must mean we're on Daf Tes. The Chul, the spotted jumping out of a teapot, leaving some chametz behind, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that Ein Choshishin Shemagera Chul de Mabayis Mabayis Makam Makam. We're not concerned that a Chul that dragged chametz from house to house or from place to place within the house. The Gemara says that this implies that we're not concerned for the possibility. But if we do indeed see a Chul to bring chametz into a place that was already searched, then we do have to search again for the chametz in that area. The Gemara asks on this, why does another search have to be done? We should assume that the Chul that ate the chametz. The Gemara brings a proof to this concept from a Mishnah that said, that if a Chul that enters a place where there might be a dead body buried there, we can assume that he ate it. Rabbi Zera answers, Habibasa habalechem. This one, the Mishnah discussing a dead body, is meat. And this one, our Mishnah that discusses chametz, is bread. A Chul that completely finishes eating meat and leaves nothing over, but does not completely finish eating bread and leaves some over. Since a Chul that leaves over bread, we have to search again if we see it bring chametz into an already checked area. So the Chul that spotted jumping out of a teapot, leaving some chametz behind, didn't find the guarded chametz in the closet. Which reminds us, on this the Mishnah states, we're not worried that a Chul that will drag a piece of chametz from a non-checked area of the house into a checked area of the house. The Gemara asks that at the end of the Mishnah on Daf Yud Amud Beis, we learn, Masha Mashayi Yanechenim Betzina, the chametz that one wants to leave over after the search for chametz, in order to eat it, he needs a place in a guarded place, so that he will not need to do another bedika. Meaning that if one didn't place his chametz in a guarded place, we are concerned that a Chul would take it, and then one would have to do another search in his house. If so, why does our Mishnah say that we're not worried that a Chul will bring chametz from a non-checked area of the house into a checked area of the house? Abai explains that on the 13th, when there's chametz in every house, a Chul that doesn't hide the chametz that he has, because it's not worried that it will run out of food, and on the 14th, when the chametz is not found in every house, the Chul that does hide the chametz. Therefore, on the 14th, we are concerned that the Chul that took away the chametz and hid it. Rav and Rav Mari give two other answers. So the Chul that spotted jumping out of a teapot, leaving some chametz behind, didn't find the guarded chametz in the closet. So he took some chametz from a pile next to matzah and scampered into a neighbor's home that had not yet done a bedika. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a case of one pile of matzah and one pile of chametz, and there are two houses there, one which was searched and one which was not. Two mice came, and one took from the pile of matzah and one took from the pile of chametz, and each one entered a different house, and we don't know which one entered which house. The Gemara says that this is comparable to a case of a brisa that says if there are two baskets, one full of chulin fruit and one full of fruits of truma, and next to them are two containers, one holding fruits of chulin and one holding fruits of truma, and each one of these containers fell into a different basket, then we assume that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. So too, in our case, we can assume that the chulda with the chametz dragged it into a house that was not checked, and the chulda with the matzah dragged the matzah into the house that was checked. The Gemara concludes that the Rabbanan were lenient because both cases involved the Rabbanan. Truma nowadays is a Rabbanan, and Bedikas chametz is a Rabbanan. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1, which type of machlokes regarding the bracha before the Bedika, whether it's Levira chametz or Albira chametz? That's on Daf Zion. Good. Number 2. Which daf with Melchos when to begin learning the halachas of a chag before the chag? Is it 30 days or 2 weeks before the chag? That's on daf Vav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that if a mouse with chametz went into a house that was already checked and then a bedika was done and it isn't found, one doesn't need to do another bedika? That's on daf Tes. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we discuss the various opinions regarding the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about the barrels of wine in the cellar? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that the Pasuk Bal Yerah is coming to teach that one cannot have chametz in pits, ditches, and caves? That's on daf Hey. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn 4 reasons why a candle is used for the bedika and not a torch? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number 7. Which daf does the Gemara leave as a take of the question if one needs to climb up a ladder to remove chametz on a beam? That's on daf Test. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that one is not chayv to put his hands in holes and cracks because of the danger of scorpions? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have the incident where Cohen's coarse expression led to the discovery of a psul in his yuchas? That's on daf Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that one makes a bracha over Lysia's son? And we learn exceptions to this rule. That's on daf Zion. Good. Now the 3 most questions. Which daf do we have a question if there's mazel Yisrael? That's on daf Kufnun Vav in Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that the Mikdash is sometimes called the Mishkan and vice versa? That's on daf Beis and Erevin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we discuss for the first time? Peros Genesar. That's on daf Mem Dalet and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes the Bob quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.